Welcome back to the FDH Lounge, only on the Sports Talk Network. Rick Morris and Elaine Tanko, your dignitaries in residence, but two original dignitaries are on the phone lines. Tim Faust and Nate Noy joining us at this time to talk some baseball. Gentlemen, welcome back to the lounge. How you doing?
Hey, Rick. Hi, Nate. How you doing?
Hey, doing fine, fellas. Good to have you guys back on. In our time that we have left here tonight, I think I want to start by getting right to this because we have some different aspects we want to get to with this baseball and steroids thing here. And I have vowed on the show that we're not going to chew over any real tired storylines that are getting fed to us by the Eastern Seaboard Programming Network. But this thing about Manny and steroids, starting on that, Tim, it was your idea to talk a little bit on that. You had some points to make that I thought were pretty good and original. So we're going to have some things to say on that here tonight that I think are going to be different than what a lot of the other talking heads are talking about. So I'm going to let you start with what your point was on Manny, and I don't frankly remember what that was from the email. So take it away.
Well, the story is tired, I agree, but the point of view that I think I bring is something that no one's bringing up. I mean, the national media, the elitist national media, is just hammering on Manny. And not to say that he doesn't deserve some of this and that he didn't make his own bed and that he isn't an idiot. But the fact is, he's one of the greatest hitters we saw in this generation. And what I think things should be judged on and people should be judged on, in particular, I mean, what are we talking about now? We're talking about the Hall of Fame now. I mean, let's just bring it out and put it out in the open. We're talking about the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And my take is that you should be judged on how you did relative to your era. And you're talking about Manny Ramirez, and then you talk about Barry Bond, you talk about Roger Clemens, you talk about Mark McGwire and Rafael Palmeiro and guys that, you know, in some way, shape, or form have been implicated in this whole steroid thing. But what about the other guys who haven't been caught? Yeah, were they smart enough not to get caught? Probably. Were all of them using? Probably not. Were some of them using who haven't been caught? Probably. Everyone talks about how, oh, what a great player Pujols is and what a great player Griffey is without using. Well, why are we making that assumption that those guys weren't using just because they haven't been caught when steroids were so rampant in this game? And that's all. That's the only point I'm trying to make, is everybody pounds on Manny because he got caught and because he's an idiot, but we're making the assumption that the guys who got caught were the only guys using.
I agree. Let's not leave out, too, how selfish he is and about how he left without telling the team or anything like that. Before I ask Nate anything, I want to ask you a follow-up, Tim, based on what you said there, because I hear what you're saying, and you're saying that obviously steroids didn't make Manny Ramirez one of the greatest players in the history of the game. Having said that, as it has emerged recently...
Stop a second. Rick, stop 1 second.
Yeah.
He was one of the greatest players of his era. I'm not going to go so far as to say that he was one of the greatest players ever to play the game.
Well,
okay?
Distinction. Can we agree, though, that if steroids weren't in the picture, we would be looking at him as one of the greatest hitters of all time?
I don't know. I'm so...
Numbers, Tim. Go with what you know.
But I can't see. That's the thing. I can't compare eras anymore
because
they're so different.
Okay.
And numbers don't mean anything anymore. The 500 home run thing doesn't mean anything anymore.
Okay.
That's why I don't think Rafael Palmeiro. I think Rafael Palmeiro is borderline. I think McGriff's out. I think Delgado's out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because numbers don't mean anything.
All right.
They mean something within your era. They don't mean anything across
eras.
All
right. Well, my question to you is valid, even if we dispute the premise of it a little bit. Here's the question. I would say one of the greatest players of all time. You say maybe, maybe not, whatever. But wherever he's slotted, okay, even if he wasn't that, if it took steroids to get him to that point, your point is well taken that it didn't bring him from being just a schlemiel off the street to that level of Hall of Fame caliber talent. Having said that, I think we would have to agree it took him from somewhere above average to where he ended up, in as much as he had a dirty whiz test back in 03 also, Tim. This has been ongoing for who knows how long. This has been ongoing throughout his career. I think it's entirely plausible to say he may have just been somewhere above average, an occasional all-star, had it not been for the roids.
There was some incremental effect of the steroids. We can agree on that.
Okay.
However, you don't know whether what he was taking in the late 90s
okay.
was even legal back then. Mark McGwire was taking something that was legal within baseball. You know,
yeah.
Manny Ramirez could have been taking something that was legal. He was taking something that was not giving him an inherent advantage over his contemporaries because it was so rampant.
Okay, I'm starting to understand a little better. You want to believe he was clean when he was playing for our Cleveland Indians?
No, not at all. No. That's precisely not what I'm saying.
I know. I'm just goofing on you.
Okay.
I know. Listen, let me get Nate's thoughts on this. I had a two-part question I was going to pose to you guys here, but I want to get Nate's thoughts on what you and I have been talking about here. Nate, jump in.
Well, my thought is that, you know, over the next 10 years or so, we're going to have this just abyss in Hall of Fame voting. McGwire's already not going to get in. I agree with Tim. Delgado's not going to get in. Palmeiro's not going to get in. We'll see if Clemens gets in. That'll be an interesting thing to watch. Manny's not going to get in. If McGwire ain't getting in, Manny ain't getting in. So we're going to have years and years of guys that were considered the top of their era that'll never see the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be joining Pete Rose doing autograph shows in Cooperstown on late July weekends here when that rolls around. All right, here's what I want to ask you guys. I have the premise of a question here, and I'll start with you, Nate. You and I have talked about this a little bit off air, and this is about the owners turning a blind eye to steroids and treating it like just another issue in collective bargaining as they did for much of the last two decades here before they finally managed to wring some concessions from the players. They seem to be more concerned with leveling out the salaries and everything like that, and steroids seem to be a disposable issue. I think they shot themselves in the foot for two reasons. One, Tom Verducci's very excellent column talking about it from about a month ago. Somebody's going to have to pay Albert Pujols 10 years, $300 million when things have returned to normal. And this, with the likes of Barry Bonds out of the game, guys have reverted to doing in their late 30s and early 40s what they always have, which means Pujols will not live up to the money and cannot. So owners have screwed themselves because the precedent has been set there by allowing roided-up players to set inflated precedents for late career salaries. That's my one premise. My other one is that I think as the game is getting cleaner now, it's not clean yet, and it won't be until they're doing blood tests for designer drugs, but as it gets cleaner, I think the competitive balance somewhat kind of abates because power is probably the most expensive skill set in the game here, and I think the gap between rich and poor, the competitive effect is going to be negated because rich teams won't be able to spend their money efficiently on that. You won't be able to buy up the best teams anymore because you won't have guys, you know, as many guys hitting 40, 50, 60 home runs in a season. They won't be able to bid on as much of that skill set. So I'll start with you, Nate. What's your thoughts on my dual-headed premise there?
Well, to me, Rick, looking at the statistics and, you know, just thinking about my lifetime of following Major League Baseball, it seems like we've come full circle and we're back to where the three of us started watching baseball in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. It just feels like the early 80s again. No, we're not going to have Vince Coleman stealing 110 bases. But, you know, back when 30 home runs was something to look at, we may be there again. You know, mm-hmm. 30 to 40, wow. And when you think about that era, you think about good teams, and you've got a list like 15 teams. You know, the Royals were good in 84. The Tigers were 84. The Royals in 83. The Brewers, the Cardinals. You just go down the list, and everybody had a good year in there somewhere. And I think that's exactly what we're like again. The competitive balance isn't as, you know, shifted towards the money teams. You can't go out and buy 650 home run hitters because they don't exist anymore because everybody's closer to the same level of talent. And you're back to developing a farm system. You're back to winning games with good management, good managers of a game, you know, bunt the run home, 3-2 baseball. It's like the early 80s, and I think for the next few years we're going to see that. We're going to see a turnover of the good teams. And look at this season. I mean, you know, sure, we're only 2.5 weeks in, but everybody in the world's pick for the World Series favorite has a second worst record in the American League. Will that stay that way? No. But, you know, so many teams have a chance now, and I think that's what we're going to be, is just like the early 80s when every year there's another team that is there on the scene and competitive and it'll be harder to sustain, but we'll have definitely more turnover in terms of parity.
Tim, I agree to some extent with the picture that Nate is painting there as far as competitive balance and everything like that. Did owners really outsmart themselves by making this a back burner issue and pursuing the salary leveling at all costs as they did?
Well, you know, I think that I'm not as optimistic as you guys are, because I think the whole playing field, I don't think this is leveling the playing field. I think the whole playing field is going to regress or become, you know, less power oriented. I don't think it was just the outliers that got help and therefore that the, you know, the rich people could pay for the best players. I think the entire playing field got shifted up, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And now it's gonna come back down. But I hope you guys are right. I hope it does restore some competitive balance. And don't forget, there's some other things going on. You know, it wasn't only steroids. It's the ballparks.
Yep.
You know, there's the conspiracy theorists that talk about the ball. It's the strike zone. So it wasn't only the steroids.
Let me raise a follow-up, though, with you, Tim, because, again, you know, the three of us are all very serious fantasy players here, certainly, and follow the game from that extent. You know, we're all familiar with the concept of, you know, being above the league average at a position. If there's not as much variance, if the ceiling is lower in terms of how high you can go position by position on a team over the league average, Tim, doesn't that democratize the game somewhat?
Well, in theory, yeah. I mean, if you're going to talk statistics, but again, my point is that entire mean shifts downward, as opposed to, and I guess the more you compress things, the less opportunity there is for things to spread out.
Okay.
I guess when you're talking statistically, so I could see it that way, but I would have to run some statistical models, but I'll just outsource that to Nate. He can run them for me.
Well, Nate's good at that. So in other words, so your premise would be then, I'm just going to throw out two sample types of numbers here, like league average second baseman, maybe back in the day it would have been 265, 15 home runs, 70 RBIs. You're saying that the mean is going to be more so maybe around like 250, 10 home runs, 50 RBIs, and that it won't, the middle and small markets don't benefit as much because everybody's going to be closer to a lower number. Is that kind of your premise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I got to give you credit. I mean, you're giving me a different way of looking at it here. I hadn't really thought about that as much. I still think I lean towards my way of looking at it, but that is an interesting way as well.